The end of Parshas Barlocha, we have the story of Miriam speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron and being struck with Sarat. Moshe Rabbeinu cries out to Hashem, source 1a, saying, Kel na rafa na la, please Hashem heal her now. Hashem said to Moshe, were her father to spit in her face, would she not be humiliated for 7 days? Let her be quarantined outside the camp for 7 days, and then she may be brought in. So Miriam was quarantined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought in. Then the people journeyed from Chatzerot, and they encamped in the wilderness of Paran. Rashi brings the famous Medrash, where the Medrash says, Zeh HaKavod, source number 2, Chalak LaHamakom Kivyocho. This was the honor, as if Hashem gave her, for the Sha'achat Shehitakva LaMoshe Kishu Shlach LiYaor. Miriam stood by the Nile to see what would happen to her brother. And she stood there for a period of time. And as a reward for standing there to watch what would come of her brother, she's rewarded now that the people did not move for 7 days. So there are a number of questions we have on this. One, this is source number 2, the Ish Tamid. She didn't do anything. She just stood there and watched. Okay, so later on, she said to Paro, I'll call a menekid, a nursemaid. But that's not what she's getting reward for. She's getting rewarded for that she stood from afar. She didn't do anything. She just stood there. For this, she gets such a reward. You look at Miriam and Nevi'ah's life, you would think that there were things that were much grander that she did that would deserve a reward. Whether she was one of the midwives, whether she went out with the women and sung by Kriyas Yamsuf, she taught the women Torah. This, standing as a little child to see what would happen to her brother, for this she's rewarded? Question 1. Question 2. Ruach Eliyah Rasve, im zot yesh lishom, matu adavka kan, kishechata v'nen shabit sarat, al shedibra b'moshe, shilem l'akadosh baruch hu amas shenitva atal ya'or. Why is she now getting rewarded for this? What is the situation now that warrants us mentioning this specific reward? And finally, question number 3. Source number 5, Bet Melech, Bepasuk Zenit Kashum Afarshi, Mai Mashma Sha'am Lo Nasar Ad Zeif Miriam, Valo Masora Yutlim Bemaimar Pi Hashem, Biktuv La'ayel, Api Hashem Yachanu, Api Hashem Yisau. How do we understand Pshat in the Pasuk, and the people did not journey until Miriam was brought in? The people didn't journey? Was it up to the people to decide when to journey or not? It was the Anan, it was the cloud, it was the Kadosh Baruch Hu who decided when they would journey or when they would not journey. So this final question, we'll just make mention and we'll really focus on the first two, on three levels of Mirat Hashem. Source 1b, although the cloud had lifted, they did not journey because it was the people's decision to honor Miriam by waiting for her return. And the Ben Melech, Rav Mintzberg, in source number 6 and 7, develops this idea, and he says, there were times that the Anan, the cloud, lifted as a sign that the people should move. And the people asked requests, Moshe Rabbeinu asked requests from Ribbono Shel Olam, we need a little bit more time before we move. And this was one of those cases where Moshe Rabbeinu, the people, said, we want to show honor to Miriam. They decided not to move for 7 days, for a week, albeit the Anan had lifted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced to their request. The Anan didn't move. The people did not move until Miriam was brought back to the camp. So, my friends, now let's try to understand. What was the big deal that she gets so rewarded? And why specifically here? We'll take a look at it on three levels, very, very focused and practical for our lives with God's help. Level number 1. The Targum Yerushalmi tells us, Mitzvah kala shel se adam mekabel schar rav. A small mitzvah a person does can warrant a great reward. And here's an example of this. Because Miriam stood al svat hanar for a short amount of time, 6 million, 3 million people, 600,000 men, are the Anan, the Aron, are all waiting for her before they move. explains the Moshe, quoting source number 9, Sifti Chachamim, Shasha Zushni Takvala Moshe Loita Elishlish Lusha'a. It was a small amount of time. It wasn't even a full hour. And not only that, this is natural. Your brother is in a little ark on the river. Of course you're going to act this way. So for this, you're going to get such a great reward. You see from here what a great reward a person gets even for the small things. And you can imagine, if this is something that was natural for a sister to do, how much more so when a person does something that isn't natural, and it's even greater than this, what type of reward they're going to get. The idea of every single act that we do gets rewarded is a fundamental principle within Yiddishkeit. And here's where we differ from the Western mentality. And we're very influenced by the Western mentality. The Western world, the bigger, the better. The more letters you have after your name, the more respect you have. In Yiddishkeit, you spend your whole life learning the Pasuk Bereish Yisbara. Wow, that's amazing. It's not about how much you accomplish. It's about the very small effort you put into every single thing. What was the greatness, Moshe continues in the Arrow and I, what was the greatness of Yoshua? He was the Masharit of Moshe. He was the one who served Moshe Rabbeinu. So Chazal described what was the service that he did. They didn't have coffee in those days to put out for people. He set up the benches. He set up the reed mats for people. That was his greatness, yes. And for that, he was deserving to be the next leader. It's the small things that people don't even pay attention to. Perhaps even a more powerful example is in source number 10. There was an Am Haaretz, and again, in those days, an ignoramus isn't like today, whose name was Lapidos, and his wife, whose name was Devorah, said, you know what? Why don't you go to the Shiloh, to the tabernacle, to the Beis Medrash, and I'll make for you wicks, so that even if you can't learn there, you can allow others to have the light to be able to learn by. And she made thick wicks, so that there would be, you know, very powerful light, right? LED lights. And for this, Chazal tell us, Hashem understands what's inside the people's mindset. Said Dvorah, your intention was to increase my light. I will increase your light. And she became one of the greatest prophetess that was around. A small act, making a thick wick. What a reward. This is what we need to understand. The smallness can never be overlooked. Rav Pinkus Zatzal discusses this in Nefesh Chaya, and he says, sometimes the reason we don't do something is because it seems to us to be so small. And he says, the truth is, this is a mistake. We know that Hashem, our dear Father in Heaven, is very, very great. But even so, David HaMelech tells us, who is like Hashem, our God, who dwells on high, yet lowers himself down to see what is in heaven and earth. Well, there's nothing too big for Hashem. There's also nothing too small for him. He lowers himself down to involve himself in the tiniest matters of this world. And everything that you have, pictures on the wall, lines on neckties, it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu putting these final details into this world. He gives an example. Let's say a mother, 12, is busy in the kitchen cooking food for Shabbos. Her little boy comes and says, Mommy, I want a drink. So, in Israel, we have something called petel, which is a concentrate, and you add water, and then you mix it, and it becomes sweet. She doesn't have time to mix it. So she just gives him the water and the concentrate. true, the child will stay alive even if the cup of juice will not be properly mixed. It won't be sweet. But that's not a tragedy. But it's a mitzvah to make the drink a little tastier for the child. It's a mitzvah, so do it. It's not an earth-shaking mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah nonetheless. Another example. A few bachurim are sitting together in the dining room. There's a tea urn on the table. One boy touches the urn with a finger, it's not really hot. The boy sitting next to him in the stands, he'd like a cup of hot tea. Now, is he going to die of thirst if he doesn't have a hot cup of hot tea? No. But would he enjoy a cup of hot tea? Yes. Continue on the next page. If the friend would get up and fill the urn with hot tea, is this a great mitzvah? Will people talk about it after 120 years? No. Nevertheless, we should not look down even on a little mitzvah like this. There's no end to little details that Hashem takes care of for us. Similarly, there's no end to the things that we should be doing. If it's a mitzvah, do it. If it's a chesed, even a very small chesed, we should not try to get out of it and ignore it. And he gives the example. You see somebody, you smile, you say hello. Is that like earth-shattering? No. But you never know what this person's going through. Maybe they need that smile. Maybe they need that pickup. Even if there's no looming tragedy, it needs to be averted. It's still a mitzvah to cheer the poor woman, give her a nice warm smile to make her feel better. We never know the power of the right word spoken at the right time. Even the smallest mitzvah is a mitzvah. A smile, wishing someone good morning. Even when someone does not need a smile, appreciates it and receives one. It's impossible to know. Maybe he really does need a smile. You have a free moment. Recite a kapitel tehillim. There's nothing too small for Hashem, and it doesn't need to be too small for you either. You know, the famous story that we're well aware of, but at times need to be reminded of the wife of the Gra and her friend who make a deal, whoever will go up to heaven first would tell the other one it was like. The Gra's wife's friend goes up to Shemayim. She comes to her in a dream, and she says, I can't even tell you what it's like up here, but I'll just give you an example. She says, remember, once we were collecting stucco for whatever cause, and the person who we wanted to ask money for was across the street. Different versions of the story, but the same idea. And one of us raised our hand to get her attention, that she should know we want to speak to her. She said, you have no idea of the reward for raising that hand to get her attention. My friends, this is the first idea, and I can't and we can't emphasize this enough and integrate this into our lives enough. You know, again, bigger is not better. Miriam Anavia is standing watching her brother for a few minutes. It's her brother. The reward she gets is millions of people wait for her for an entire week. Do you have any understanding? Like in our mathematical mind, which obviously is off balance, like it doesn't add up. Of course it doesn't add up because we don't understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level of reward is so much different than ours. And every little opportunity that comes our way to make somebody happy, that's what we need to do. What does it take from us? It's like when I drive my daughter to the main shopping center. So there are two ways to drive home. One is up a hill, and one is a more roundabout way. I know it's roundabout because ways takes you up the hill. But for whatever reason, there are more people and more things that she likes to see going straight. So it's almost like a joke. I say to her, well, should we make a left up the hill or go straight? So she says, well, it's whatever you want to do, but I know you would want to make me happy, and you know what it means to make me happy, so then you know which way you want to go. So then I respond to her and say, okay, hineni muchan musuman to do the mitzvah of ahavta l'recha kamocha. Right, this is a mitzvah. I'm making you happy. Right, so I get a mitzvah out of this. She's happy that she gets the way she wants. And for the extra 30 seconds it's going to take me to get home, it's not a big deal. But it's sensitivity. It's mindset. If this is what makes you happy, this is what we'll do. What does it take out of us? What does it take out of us to do these small things in life? And we have so many opportunities. And that is what the Or Daniel speaks about. Mafhil notanim la dam margalit Yikaravu Zareket Layam. Hashem gives us zillions of opportunities. We throw them into the river. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mafsher Lanu Kayim Torah Mitzvot Ka'avat Nafshenu. We have the ability to do all these Torah Mitzvot without anyone stopping us. Ve'anu Einenu Yodim Kama Yalomim Anu Zokim Layam B'mo Yadenu. Do you know how many opportunities we throw away? How many diamonds? Kol Rega Sheino Menutzal Holech Libud Ein Lo Takana. We have opportunities and we don't do this? What's lost? How much chesed, how much learning, how much tehillim? Everything is written down. Know that every single thing that we do is recorded. And we have no idea, what the effect of mitzvot is. He brings the story, or Daniel, of Ochian himself, where he relates a story about a little town, a little city in Eretz Yisrael. You pass it on the one between Beit Shemesh and Yerushalayim. It's called Shoresh. So the story happened in Shoresh, where there was a mashgiach kashrut who decided that he wanted to arrange a mincha gedola minyan in Shoresh. So mincha gedola is right at the beginning time, you could say mincha. It's in the middle of the day. And it's very hard to get a minyan because most people are working. So most people go to Mincha Ma'ariv at the end of the day, right before sunset. So he tries to get a Mincha Gedola together, and it was really hard, and he was able to put together a minyan, and it started running. People would come to the Mincha Gedola minyan. And one day, he didn't have a minyan, he had 9 people. So he starts running around trying to get a 10th because he knew that if this minyan wasn't going to have 10 people, people were going to say, it's not worth it. You know, it's too much time, too much effort. So he's running around, and he sees a friend of his who's not religious. He says, I just need you for a few minutes. Can you be the 10th? The guy says, I want to take a shower, change my clothes. He says, I don't have time for that. Could you just come and sit? Okay, so he comes, he sits down, he's there for 2 minutes. 2 minutes on the clock, just Asri. No Amains, no Amenye Shrei Rabbas, no Kedusha. And the 10th man comes in, he turns to his friend and says, can I leave? Yeah, you can leave if you want to leave. Great, I'm headed for the shower. And he leaves. A number of years later, this 10th man, the guy who wanted to take the shower, dies. And he comes to the Mashgiach in a dream, and he says to him, you have no idea of how much reward I received for those 2 minutes that I sat in the shul to make a 10th. No Amains, no Kedusha, just sitting in the shul, I got rewarded. And he says, you have no idea of what pain there is to my neshama, that my children are completely ignoring my yortzeit, shiva, kaddish. Please go to my children and try to, implore them. And the mashgiach does, and in the end, they all become frum. And Shomrei Torah Mitzvot, it made such an impression on them, this dream and this story. My friends, we need to grab these opportunities and run with them. Just like, have your antenna up. It's like, the marvelous Midos machine. Midos alert, Midos alert, Mitzvah alert, Mitzvah alert. The smallest, the better. It doesn't matter what it is. Stirring the cup for a child. Whatever it is. It's smiling. A kapitel tilim. It lo mishaneh ma. It's constantly grabbing these opportunities. On this first level, what is the significance in the fact that it's in this particular place that she's rewarded? So it's a little bit of a more lamdanish idea. And it's from the Sefer Tinachem, Hinachem Nafshi, where he speaks about the following. When Hashem says to Moshe, if her father would spit in her face, she would be embarrassed for 7 days. The Chomer, for sure, for me, she should be quarantined for 7 days. And Chazal learned from here the Kal v'Chomer, an idea of how much more so. And we know there are 13 midos, Rabbi Shmuel, that the Torah is the Drasha Bahem. Where do we learn the idea of Kal v'Chomer? How much more so would it be? We learn it from this story. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he separated from his wife, used the Kal v'Chomer. If the people have to separate from their spouses before Hashem speaks to them at Mamad Har Sinai, how much more so do I need to separate from my wife because I speak to Hashem on a continuous basis? So watch this closely. Moshe Rabbeinu himself uses the Kal V'Chomer to separate from his wife. Therefore, in the place of Kal V'Chomer, where we learn it from, it's exactly in this place where Miriam didn't learn this Kal V'Chomer that she's punished. Now, what's fascinating is, the Sfarim say that the 13 Midos HaRachmim, Hashem Hashem Karachum V'Chanun, etc., parallel the 13 Midos of that the Torah is in Dreshet Bahem. Umida Rishona Shehi Shel Kal V'Chomer, he connected Shem Kel. So the Midah of Kal V'Chomer parallels the Midah of Kel, Karachum V'Chanun. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu uses that name to daven for Miriam. Kel na refa na la. Why does he use the name Kel? Because the name Kel is connected to Kal V'Chomer. And Kal V'Chomer is where Miriam, on her level, didn't understand the Kal V'Chomer that Moshe Rabbeinu learned. And it's in this case that she's punished through a Kal V'Chomer. If this is what would happen for her father, how much more so for Hashem? And therefore, she gets rewarded specifically in this case because we learn a Kal V'Chomer about reward from here. We learn that if for something small, we have such a major reward that all the people in the Aron wait for her, bold, 17b, Kal V'Chomer l'tzadikim u'l'shomrei mitzvot Hashem l'olam haba. How much more so for righteous people, what a reward they're going to get in the future world. So here we see that the entire, way this whole story is set up is really predicated around the idea of Kal V'Chomer. And because the whole issue is about not learning the Kal V'Chomer, we learn the Kal V'Chomer, the Midah of Hashem is the Kal V'Chomer. It's from this case that we learn the greatest Kal V'Chomer for our lives, that if something so small is rewarded so greatly, how much more so when we do even greater acts, what the reward is going to be both in this world as well as the next. So that would explain why specifically it's here that she's rewarded. That's level number one. Now let's move to level number two. If level number one is about any act, stirring the juice concentrate, driving the way your kid likes, whatever it is, it's a small chesed to make someone happy. It's a no-brainer. Now let's move to level number two. No, this act wasn't just a no-brainer act. There was a lot more to it. Let's begin with the Chochman Matzvun, source 18. Say na v'chashov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishalem la'adam et charo kefi palo. Hashem responds to somebody according to what they do. And therefore we understand that the schar must give us an indication al tivo shel ha'maisa sh'adam asa, on some level of the act that the person does. Ki lifnei avnei basar v'adam einei gluim kol ha'gromim ha'maritzim et ha'adam l'asot maisa zeh or acher. Truth be told, this, and we know this, that when I take a look at what somebody does, do I have any inkling of what went on in their mind? Do I have any understanding of how much effort it took them to do this? Do I have any understanding what kavana they had when they did this? No, I just see this act. We don't know everything that goes through this. Going back to the example of driving, you would think I'm just driving straight. You don't know that for me, I'm a person of habit who likes to make a left. And when she's not in the car, I do make the left up the hill. And that for me, I have to make a conscious effort. I'm making you happy. I'm going straight. You don't see that. All you see is that I'm going straight, right? That's maybe a simplistic example, but it's everything that we do. We don't really understand what is standing behind it. Ma'amuka v'rutzufa 19 hasagot v'chavayot hayita sha'azu shalom. We have no idea of what went into this 1 hour of Miriam standing there. The romamutin of Shashal Miriam, the exaltedness of Miriam. We just say, okay, she stood there for 15 minutes. No. What it was like for her to stand there. What was she thinking about? How much Tehillim did she say there? Don't tell me Tehillim wasn't made yet. There were many people who wrote Tehillim way before David HaMelech. U'matzachar azen yuchal avin. Now we can understand the klilat yofi, the beautiful, godly act that she did. And halimuda maisi b'shvilenu, this will come from Torah Sanefesh. What we learn from this, shnita meitz, v'nishtadel shekol ha'sholz ha'mitrakshos aleinu ba'asiyas mitzvos ha'maisim tovim. Our job is that the opportunities that we have to be involved in mitzvos ha'maisim tovim, when we're involved in Torah, avodas, milus, chesed, they should be meleyed berov tuva tzafon. We should fill them with greatness. Shefshar lanu loridov lach lisod t'toch p'nimut ma'aseinu. Don't just act. Invest in your acts, the purity of spirit, the mindset, the desire. Put all of that into everything that you do so that what you're doing becomes such an exalted act. With this in mind, what exactly, as far as I'm asked, was the greatness of this act? So one idea, we spoke about this many years ago, in Source 31, Rav Druk Eish Tamid, that this wasn't just a stamen act, it was a bitui of nosei ba'ol im chaveiro, to be able to carry the burden with your friend. Her little brother is in sakanat chayim, is in danger of life. She can't just stay in her house. Hein emet shamidata sham lo tisayel lebuma. You're right, she can't do anything. She's just standing there to watch. Standing there and watching is doing something. And that's the mistake we make. Again, Western mindset. Well, if I can help out, great. And if I can't, well, what do you want me to do? What do I want you to do? I want you to just be there and feel the pain. That in itself alleviates part of the pain. They say that the Chofetz Chaim says that in the World War I, when the Jewish soldiers were on the front, he would not sleep in a bed. How can you just go on with your life when people are in pain? Achein 22, Yesh Banagazu continues, Yesh Tamid, there's a skula ruchani. There's a spiritual skula that when a Jew joins the pain of another, he really takes from the other, and in the end, that itself brings some level of salvation. You're right, Miriam couldn't do anything. At the same time, she felt his pain. And the people, measure for measure, are nosa ima ba'ol, feel her pain of isolation, and therefore don't move for 7 days. The Otzor Satara, Rav Cohn, brings a beautiful story, and he says that once Rav Chaim Shulevitz had a bris of his son, and there were bombs going off in Yerushalayim all around them, and literally you had to go from house to house to take cover that you wouldn't get hit. And as they're leaving the bris and they're going from house to house, Rav Chaim Shulevitz sees a little boy who was hurt and was bandaged on his hands and his feet. And Rav Chaim just stood there, Ne'etzar ve'echel bocheh. He just stood there, double bracket, and started to cry. Ben mishpacha shelivah oto za'ak lavro lo maher v'litpos machzeh. A family member was with him, screamed to him, quick, go undercover. Reb Chaim couldn't. He couldn't move from his place. He just stood there and felt the pain of this child crying. Be'otu atzmo notem matzakana. He himself was in danger at that part. Who is Mirva Mar, Sichlim Koshim Shalaseba, O Pirusha Raklos, or Lashini? Explain with Chaim Shulevitz, the fools think. Now, what does no Seba all mean? That you can help somebody else, that's it. Vekasher Adam Nisar, Vekvarchav Shuotobi Adav Raglav. And if a person has already been seen by a doctor and is bandaged by their head and their foot, then Umatam Mitsugal Kvar Lasota, Kobe Kochorat Smola, Zorlo Kvar Yavshar. Lo valo. So then you say, I can't help anymore. Like, let's move on. No, I can't help. But why can't I just feel their pain? Kama kvar efshar lazor lota litchalek ito bekeiv. To stand there and cry with the person is what you can do. And he brings us an example. If a person's carrying a heavy package, so of course you go over and say, help, let me help you out. Let me carry a little bit of it. Let me lessen your load. The same thing holds true of emotional pain. Rav Simchel Zissel Ziv says, in order to experience the suffering of others, you need to make mental images. When someone experiences suffering and pain, you make a picture in your mind as if that were happening to you. Whatever you want other people to do for you in such situations, you should do for others. This is how we internalize the trait of sharing the burdens of others. and Rabbi Pliskin adds in 25, right now, take a moment to apply this exercise. Think of someone you know who is suffering in some way. Now feel this pain as if it were yours. What would you want others to do for you? Now do that for that person. The idea of Nosei Boim Chaveiro, just to take this a little bit further, Rav Lubov speaks about in his idea on chesed, and he says this is really the highest form of chesed, to feel the pain of others. We're in Source 26, in Al Eshor, and he brings as the quintessential example that when the Zakenim saw, whatever that may mean, the image of the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of glory by Mamet Har Sinai, they saw that tachat, under the Kisei HaKavod, was a Livnat HaSapir, was a sapphire brick. And again, these are imageries. We don't really understand what they mean. The Svarim explained what was a sapphire brick. It was reminding Hashem Kivyochol of the pain the Jews were in Egypt. That's what the brick reminded him of, Kivyochol. So this is the idea. This is what it means. You want to be v'halachta b'drachav. You want to walk in the ways of Hashem. The ways to walk in the ways of Hashem is to be able to feel the pain of others, to carry that pain, to be with them where they are. And it's not easy. And Rav Lubov says, I will tell you what's even harder than to be Nosei Boim Chaveiro, to carry the pain of another, is to carry their joy with them. And psychologically, we know this. The Svarim say that to be with someone in pain, it's hard, but you can access this. With joy, it's so much harder, because the human nature is there's jealousy. I really can't feel their joy because I wish I was having that joy. I wish I was in that place. And we have to really be able to step out of ourselves to really be able to access where that person is at. Which leads us to a beautiful piece from our Friedlander in Siftei Chaim in 28. The Saba Mikkel brings Rashi. Pasuk in Mishpatim, im kesev talvetam et ami, if you lend money or when you lend money to a person from my nation, etani imach, the poor person with you. So Rashi asks, hani imach, the poor person with you, da, he's with you. You're lending him the money. He's in front of you. Have mistakel, famous Rashi says, have mistakel batzmacha kilo ata ani. You should look at yourself as if you are the ani. Ha'ani imach, the ani that is with you. Imagine you're the one knocking on that door, not knowing if a person would open. You're the one knocking on the door who has to get the grunts of people and the, oh no, another mishulach. You're the one knocking on the door who has no food to feed your family. You're the one knocking on the door who has to humiliate yourself. Whoa. Suddenly, it's not just giving them a dollar. Suddenly, it's putting them in their place. It's feeling their pain. And in that way, you'll be able to give them in a whole different way. V'rakach tuchal liyizdahot imo yizdahot amitin u'mukhleta. The dot in 28. Then you're going to be able to have a real identification. V'ayidei kein tedach likachesen lav u'bezezit zirela lo et halva'ah. Now you're going to know how to give him the money. 29. Ma'let nosei ba'ol hi hefech hanichuyot hativi. The idea of feeling the pain of others is diametrically opposite to the way we are wired. Hadam mitivo doche kol tzar matzva. We are wired not to feel pain. We do whatever we can to live a pain-free life. Lachein eino rotze lerop tzarot hazulat. I can't deal with other people's issues because it's painful and I don't want to feel pain. Eino rotze labi b'fnei hazulat be'ein sivlo. I can't see somebody in pain. Says the Chovos Levavos, no tain stucka la'ani rakidei lichot kol tzar malatzmo. Why do I give money to people? Because I can't see them in pain. Not because I feel that, you know, I want to give them and I want to help them. It's nothing to do with them. It's about me. I can't see you in this situation. So to make me feel better, I'm going to give you something. Which the upshot would be, if somebody else would offer the same services so that the person wouldn't be in pain, I would be just as happy. Because it's not about me doing the mitzvah. It's about me not feeling the pain. It's all about me. And Nosei Boim Chaveiro is about, no, be there in the pain. Be there in the joy. Be there in the feeling. And that was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. That Moshe Rabbeinu went out to his brothers, Vayar B'Sivlosam. He was living a lavish life in the palace, living it up. He needs to go out to his brethren. Yeah. And he put the bricks on his shoulder to feel their pain in the most real way. Source 30. The Chinai Rishon Kedei Lizko L'mayla Zuhi L'shtachrer Mitchum Hani. First thing we have to do is to step outside of ourselves. Al Adam Latzeit Mitochei Taskut Be'atzmo V'lichdo Minachipus Latzmiti Achara To'elet Ha'ishit. Stop looking for what you gain from everything. L'imana M'shikulim Shal Revach V'Kadayut. Stop looking at, well, is this going to be worth it for me? Should I spend time speaking to this person or not? You have to be able to step out of your world and give time and yourself to somebody else. We have to leave toach et halev kedei latet et hane. You have to open up your heart to be able to give yourself, to be able to see what this person really needs. So first level, my friend, what was the greatness of Miriam and Avia? The answer is, there was no greatness. That was the greatness. Any act you do. The second level, no. It was investing in that moment where, albeit she couldn't do anything, but she could feel his pain. And for those moments of feeling the pain, to be no seben chaveiro, the highest level, she's rewarded, mita keneged mita, to be nosei ba'ol im chaveiro. And this is a message for us. We have no idea of how important it is to be able to really listen to somebody. So on the first level, hello, how are you? You smile, you make a compliment. Now we take it a step deeper. If a person doesn't look well and says, oh, it's so good to see you, and you're like, 50 feet away, stop. Yeah, I look a little bit down today. Everything okay? And stop to listen for the answer. To be no say b'olim chaveiro, to really hold and carry, just like something's heavy, you help them carry it. And just listening already takes away part of what the burden is about. Just sending somebody a text, a WhatsApp, whatever it is, saying, I'm thinking about you. You know how far that goes? Just checking in, everything okay. That's part of what we need to do. We're busy. We don't have time. Make time. Why Dafka here? So, share a very fascinating insight of the Sichos Musar, Source 32. This is Mamash Yisod, which deserves its own time. Pasuk tells us in Dvarim, Hatzur Tamim Pa'olo, Hashem's rock is perfect, his actions are perfect, Ki kol drachav mishpat, everything Hashem does is just. Kel emunah vein avel, Hashem is the God of truth, there is no injustice. And the Sichos Musar of Chaim Shulevitz Hatzal develops this idea at length about how the judgment of Hashem is very different than our judgment. And he speaks about how in the human court judgment, Hashem just takes in the human judgment, the judge just takes in mind the person standing in front of him, the person who did the wrong. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes everyone in mind. The family, the friends, the community, everyone, like the concentric circles, everyone who's going to be affected and to what extent they're going to be affected, that is part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's judgment. This is one of the reasons, parenthetically, one goes to a gadol to daven, because if a gadol, they'll say, Bo'im Chaveiro, feels the pain of this person, and they aren't even connected to this person, Hashem Kivyachol says, oh, hold on a minute. They're not part of the concentric circle that needs to feel this person's pain. So therefore, I need to alleviate that pain because it's going beyond the purview of what was intended. One of the ideas of the Mishpat of Hashem is based on a pasuk in Tzvanya Perek Beis, the Aron 34, Asher Mishpato Pa'olo, which Chazal explains, Basher Mishpato, where Hashem does judgment, Sham Pa'alo, there Hashem remembers the goodness of this person. That Hashem when Hashem judges somebody, so we look at judgment as very harsh, as very punitive. Judgment is really an opportunity for Hashem to bring the person closer to them, to him, kivyachol. Right? We know, this is the end of 36, at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed, which is like the ultimate punishment. The Kruvim Me'urim Zebuzim, the angelic figures were embracing one another. It was a time of intense closeness between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol. Because punishment isn't for the sake of punishment. Punishment is in order to bring the person higher, to allow the person to grow. It's an opportunity of growth. It's an opportunity of love. It's how we view punishment. It's how we view pain, which is, already a whole different zach. Therefore, my friends, at the moment that Hashem punishes, at that moment He brings the person so close to Him, and it's dafka at that moment that Hashem looks at all the wonderful things that this person has done. So at the very moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol is punishing Miriam, He brings to the fore one of the greatest moments of her life. That moment of being no say ba'ol, the moment of just standing there with there's nothing to do but just feel the pain, being able to step outside of self. So the very moment of punishment is the very moment that Hashem is remembering what she did and therefore rewarding her. And that is the second lesson that we learn. Why is she being rewarded here? To teach us this lesson, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. He lefanav laskir et tzidkat ha'adam v'lachem b'makom shekayemet midat mishpat. With that, tzidkatcha kahar re'el, it's beyond our purview to understand the judgments of Hashem. The upshot for us on this level in Matati Odea, v'aleinu l'mod mizad, 37, the Tifa Torah, she'im adam ko'esa zulatocha s'shom. A person gets angry at another person, and he wants to, teach him a lesson. Zachor yiskor kamatovo v'chasadim asayimo bavar. At the very moment that you want to teach this person a lesson, remember all the good things this person has done. She'esh le'ativ lo akach. You need to repay him for it. We have to learn from Moshe, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the very moment of punishment, that's the moment of love. The Rebbetzin Feldbrand brings down in her Sefer Midos, this is very much the Talmud Devorah, a person should emulate the attribute of his own conduct. When a person causes you pain or anger, you should remember redeeming virtue he or she has, or some kindness they have performed. In his eulogy from his Sea Gunnet, Rav Chaskel Levenstein related the following story, 139. Someone once did Rav Gennet an injustice. Every day for a month, he wrote down two good things about that person. At the end of 30 days, he read the list of 60 positive attributes. He then said to himself, "What sort of fool am I? How can I bear a grudge against someone with so many good traits?" That, my friends, is the second level. First level, any act you do. Kal v'chomer, this is where we learn it from. This is the source of Kal v'chomer, the entire story. The whole rubric is Kal v'chomer, that's why it's here. Second idea, it wasn't just any act. It was the act of no sleep all your chaveru, to step outside yourself, even though there was nothing to do. Rav Chaim Shmulev is just feeling the pain of this little boy. Just being able there to sit and cry is in itself a very powerful experience. And this is when Hashem punishes, He also rewards. Just to share a personal story before we get to the third and final level. I remember, it's been now 22 years ago, my mother, Allah Shalom, died. And I was teaching in L.A. at the time in Yula. And I was teaching one of the classes. I was teaching, it was 11th grade class, and I had, at that year, I would give out to the girls books. I felt like even if I didn't impact what I was teaching, at least these books hopefully would stay with them. So that year I gave them out paperback books of Committed Life, Rebbetzin Young Rich. And I gave it to them out at the beginning of the year, and my mother was Nifter, the Yurtzeit just was, Erev Shavuos. So the school brought, everyone drives in L.A., So the kids carpooled and they came, the entire 11th grade class, 20-odd kids, canoe era, they came to pay a Shiva visit. So obviously it's a little bit awkward, you know, like these 16-year-olds sitting by their teacher's house. They don't know my mom. You know, it's an uncomfortable situation. Obviously, you know, you make small talk. You thank them for coming. This is what they need to do. And it's an awkward situation. So they were there for not a long time, whatever amount of time there was. And I noticed, while, you know, there was a whole group of girls sitting there, I noticed that there was one girl. It was Shoshana. Remember this? That was 22 years later. She sat there in the corner, and she just had tears in her eyes. And I was so impressed, like, you don't know my mother. She died very young. She died barely 62. It was like a month short of her 62nd birthday. You didn't know what she accomplished, like, you know. But I was very moved by this. Like, somebody who can really tap into my pain of losing a mother so young. And I didn't say anything. And she didn't say anything. And they said, I'm Uncle Menachem, and they left. And then the following week, it was the end of school year, was finals. And she wrote a note on her final, and she said the following. She said, you know, Mrs. Smiles, you gave us this book, The Committed Life, and in the book it tells a story how Robinson Jungreis met somebody who had lost Lou Elena, an only child, and met this person a few months later and said to Robinson Jungreis, you have no idea, your husband was the only one who really comforted us. So I immediately went to my husband and I said, what did you say to them? What could you possibly say? He said, I didn't say a word. I just sat there and cried with him. And this girl wrote, she says, I didn't know what to say to you, but I thought about that story. And if there's any way I can be aligned with you in your pain, I can sit and cry with you. Wow. Wow. Like, you wonder what happened to this girl, you know, 22 years later, right? Ah, godless. Greatness. Gewaltig. Okay, my friends. Our final idea is the Mikdash Levi, and he says 41. L'chor yesh Levi, ma makom l'netina tchar kokat gadol. What is the minchas michal rather? What is the Rav Rabibo? What is the place for such a great reward? V'nira de Miriam and Neviya lo kibla tchar rekavur amtana l'rot ma yesed begor lo shemal shabeno. It's not just that she went there. It's not even that she just was no sebol kaveiro. No, there's something else going on here. Goes deeper every level. Ella kibla haschar gam al sipi yuta ubitchona b'kadosh baruch hu shebezrat Hashem titgashem nevuata. We know that Miriam had the nevuah, had the prophecies. Little girl, 6-7 years old, that my mother is going to have the future redeemer of Israel, and she told that to her father. And Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and then he has to be thrown into the Nile. And her father, Medrash says, "Now, nah, where's your nevuah? You're a big talker." And she held firm. And she said, I'm going to stand and watch what's going to happen to my nevuah. I don't care what you say, Father, Gadol Ador. I believe in my nevuah at all costs. And I believe in my nevuah, my prophecy, to the extent that I am going to follow through to make sure, to ensure that faith, that this nevuah, this prophecy is going to happen. Vadahi kiel hamtana kazu. This type of waiting, with emuna and bitachon of this caliber, she gets this type of reward. And Rosvei, 42, echoing the same idea. Zu hagadlus hatzuma munacha b'yitruta l'tzad Moshe. This was her greatness. Hamunai tanash haitala b'nevuata. Her belief in her nevuah, that she believed it at all cost. And therefore, my friends, it's specifically here that she gets rewarded. Why? Because this was on the level, obviously we're talking about these great people, this was on her level the mistake of Miriam. Miriam felt, look at my nevuah, I held strong in it, and it was right. I am somebody who is on a high level of nevuah. And therefore she wasn't able to see that Moshe Rabbeinu was even on a higher level of nevuah. Harak Akben Moshe Diber, Halo Gambaru Diber Hashem. Did only Hashem speak to him? He also speaks to us. It was her very belief in her nevuah, which is what gave her this reward, is what tripped her up in speaking against Moshe Rabbeinu. And in the very place of the negativity of the speaking, we understand that it's coming from really a good place. It's coming from that place where she held so strong by the nevuah that she had, that she felt so close to Baruch Shalom, that she couldn't believe there was somebody even on a higher level than herself. And therefore, in this very place where Hashem was teaching her, no, there is someone higher. Right? Right, that there is someone greater. At this point, nevertheless, Hashem rewards her and says, however you get rewarded for your greatness and the fact that you believed so mightily in the nevuah that you did have. V'zo ifo limun niskav, the end of 43, says Rasvei, ech shadam sarich lamin bekochot shelo. What we do learn from here is how you really have to believe in yourself. Alav ladad and malato, to see your greatness. Lamin b'shlichut shelo, believe in your shlichus, b'tafkid shakadosh baruch hu yifki biyado, v'samach bo alav, that Hashem has invested you with. It says Rasvei, this is the message for us. We see next week's parasha of Shlach, where the Meraglim are faulted for feeling like the people of the land looked at them like grasshoppers. The Medrash says in the Yalkut, how do you know they were saying you were grasshoppers? Maybe they were saying you were angels. What? They would say you were angels? Yes. Elo Haya, the Dad in 45, La Dame Nain Laro. If a person had eyes to see, even a goy, they would say that a Jew is no less than an angel. The Jew has tremendous amount of kochos. He's like a malach, but it's hidden. The chumrius, the gashmius, the physicality blocks us. And therefore, we have to realize, alav lamin b'atzmo b'shlichut shelo u'b'kochot shelo. A person has to believe in their greatness. Alav l'rod et atzmo k'malach. We have to see ourselves as an emissary from Hashem, to believe the great kochos that we have, and we have to be able to realize that we can use all of these to be successful in our mission. There is, as a final idea, and then we'll end with one more story, there's an idea in the Sichus B'Avodat Hashem, a paragraph that said right after Sfiras Omer, we just finished the mitzvah, the idea that we have to believe in we have to believe that we are an Olam Katan, a small world. What does it mean that we are an Olam Katan? What does an Olam mean? So an Olam means a place, right? A physical place that doesn't move beyond its boundary, a locale. Second meaning of Olam is Hester, is hiddenness. We have to realize that they're really one and the same. In the Aaron 46, ki etzem hadavar sheish mutzag shel hagbala, the fact that we believe that there's a locale, this is where a person lives, this is who a person is, ze gufa hester hagadol biyoter shefshar liyot, that's the biggest concealment there can possibly be. Because one who has real emunah knows there is no teva, there is no nature in this world. And Hashem can help a person go beyond their physical capabilities in ways that we cannot even imagine. El shlofi ra'od einav mugbal hu b'yuchato. We look at ourselves and we say, I'm limited. Well, what do you want from me? Aval emethi, sheyesh lo kochot arbe yoter, min ha-meshuar. We really have a lot more in us than we know about. And our job in this world is not to be fooled, to think that we are limited, and to be able to tap into the kochos hanefesh, to tap into the abilities that we have. And instead of saying, oh, I can't do that, what do you want from me? Try it. Push yourself. Move out of your comfort zone. We look at ourselves as an olam, as limited. If you recognize that an olam is from the word elam, concealment, you'll realize that that idea of limitation is the biggest concealment, and we really have a lot more in us than we give ourselves credit and even try to tap into. Final story, when I heard from Robinson Feldbrand, is the story of the Kloisenberger Rebbe, who was trying to raise money for his hospital in Netanya. And he went to a gvir, he went to a rich man, and he said to him, can you help me out? So the rich man gave him, you know, a pat answer. I'll do the best I can. So the Kloisenberger Rebbe looked at him and said, do you know what you just said? I said to him before the war, I was involved in learning and in this project, that project, and I felt like I was, you know, doing the best, you know, utilizing my maximum. And then the war came. And then I had to start working 16 and 17 hours days, hard labor with meager rations. And then I realized I could do a lot more than I was doing before the war started. And I realized my best was far different than I ever envisioned. When you tell me you're going to do your best, do you know what you just signed up for? And that, my friends, is really a message for us. We need to do our best. We need to have that faith that Miriam had in her Nevuah at all costs. We need to have the faith in ourselves at all costs. We need to be able to realize that we have limitless capabilities. We're the ones who limit ourselves. My friends, three messages for today. Grab the small opportunities in life. Go mix those chocolate milk drinks. Go and find the smile, the what's ups, just to be able to small things. Second, feel the pain of others. Step outside of yourself and just be with the person when they're there. When a person is in pain, look at them, hold them, hug them, be with them. Don't be distracted. Feel it. That in itself is taking away some of the pain. Cry with them. Third, recognize the greatness that's found within each and every one of us. And when we recognize, even cognitively, how much we have within us, then we dive into Hashem. Harchev picha, open your mouth wide. Vamaleu, Hashem says, you open your mouth wide. And you dive in that I should be able to fill it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed fill it. And with these three directives, we're able to take from the holiday of Shavuos and move forward. We're taking the Mamet Har Sinai and being able to take Torah into our lives and living a life the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu envisioned.